Hey guys, what's up? This is Leaf from Complexity, and you're watching the Esports Historian Thorin's YouTube channel.
We've got some breaking news here. It's coming over the wires. What's that? Reddit HLTV Forums broadcast talent in shambles. Team Falcons is a go. They have indeed secured top talent and is locked and loaded for takeoff. Destination, the major. Now, speaking of major upgrades that should get everyone talking, EsportsBet still run their classic first-time deposit bonus of 50% up to 100 USDT. That's EsportsBet, the industry's leading crypto odds matrix. Obviously, they've got all the games. CS2, Valorant, League of Legends, Dota, Rainbow Six. Basically, if you could think of a top esports game, they've got it, haven't they? Right, Falcons are here in CS2 with a real lineup. We're not talking about those whack ones they had with the French players and the sort of ones where they were like budget rosters. They've actually got a lineup now that should get people excited. This is something to talk about. And because of the players they've gotten, they've now got the RMR spot from Ents because they signed 3 Ents players. And the news recently just came out that they're getting a Blast partner spot. So they're going to be in the Blast ecosystem. And remember, for the ESL system, even if you're not in the Louvre agreement, you can obviously just go ahead and qualify for the tournaments if you're highly enough ranked, right? Now, they did obviously have an old roster in Falcons. People do forget that. Like, if you go back far enough, like last year, obviously they had the lineup with Kenny S that was trying to qualify for the last ever major since it was in CSGO, since it was a French lineup, wasn't it? Then they had the mixed French lineup with some international players more recently, where they had NBK and Body still. Then they had Laux, the Romanian player, MHL, who's that AWPA from Poland. And then they had Boros, the Jordanian rifle player that you might have seen in Monty at the major. He was in the playoffs. And then Oz Striker, the old 1.6 player. What it was an in-game leader, I think, was the coach. And now, obviously, the whole project changed, didn't they? Because what they did was they brought in Zonix, already you've upgraded coach, to arguably the biggest upgrade possible, because he's the greatest coach ever, most people say, right? Let's just start there. Because you'd think CS fans, if I say to you, I'm going to take my project that before was like a budget roster, I'm not only going to inject money into it, but I'm going to start, before I even bring in the big players, by the way, I'm actually going to start by bringing the greatest coach of all time, who just constructed the last major winner, a totally different project to what he was working with before, and not even within the same region and country and org. And I'm going to take him and start with that piece. You'd think everyone universally praise him. What a great move for him. What a great move for the orgs. It's forward thinking. It's exactly how I want orgs to be built. Clearly, he's not just a coach. Maybe he's almost like a mixture of GM, general manager, and sort of a team director, as it were, not just like a guy just doing X's and O's and looking at the demo for the next game. No, no, because of the whole Saudi angle, everyone just laughed at Zonic and jaded him and made fun of him and acted like he was a piece of shit as a human, a complete sellout as a professional, and basically like, lol, ha ha ha, he left Vitality in there winning, ha ha ha, he is such a sellout. What a fucking whack angle. Because here's the weirdest part about that. The same people don't mind all the pros attending events in Saudi Arabia. They don't mind the same pros getting money from Saudi Arabia. They don't mind the same fucking people. Eventually their orgs will be bought by Saudi Arabia. I'll say that right now in the future. And plenty of people will play for it and earn money from and go and shake hands with people and take photos. All that stuff's going to happen. But what's weird is they won't keep that energy that they did for Zonic here or Nico when they heard he was going, or Snappy when he's there now, or Magisk. No, no. When everyone else comes in, it becomes just normal, becomes normalized, as it were. Actually, no one will go mad then. So, by the way, I'll just throw this out there as well. Based on what Falcons said in their HLTV confirmed appearance, which I'll link a tweet to, they have a little clip on Twitter in the description box below. They were asked essentially about their ownership, like, are they owned by the PIF, the Public Investment Fund, which is who is the Saudi government / royals used to invest into different companies, media companies that have used it through the Savvy Gaming Group, which is part of it, to buy ESL, Faceit Group, etc., and other features, and Esports World Cup and Gamers 8 and all that jazz. So they asked him, like, was it that in any way owned by the Public Investment Fund? Now, MS Dossery, who was the FIFA player who actually started this team, it's quite a famous FIFA player, people know he's been champion many times, he said that actually the ownership were all the same shareholders and that there wasn't anyone from the PIF. Then when Striker pointed out, yeah, but you have a sponsor that's involved with those people, though, he basically said, like, yeah, but that's just a sponsor. They don't actually have shares and they don't own the company. So it's up to a journalist to go out there and sure that that's not the case. Based on the information at the moment, okay, what I would guess is, if you know anything about how Newcastle Football Club works in the English Premier League in football, I would just suggest that, like, yes, a sponsor doesn't own you, but depending on the type and, let's say, the nature of the sponsor relationship and how much money it's for and who you are and who the person sponsoring you are, beyond just the company, the person you're actually involved with, your point of contact, your relationship bridge, as it were, I would say they could certainly have influence that goes beyond just sponsoring you. I mean, I would even say sponsors themselves have a massive amount of image influence over the esports teams, because it's their main like lifeblood of the organization at this point in time. Sponsorship is the name of the game in esports. And also, there is this other aspect that I'll just throw out there, and I'll just throw it out there. We're not going to address it, but I think a lot of people aren't aware of this, and they haven't looked into it. As far as I know, Zonic, in some sense, has some sort of, I think, Muslim background. Like, I think maybe some of his family might be Muslim or were Muslim previously, and even his actual, like, close family, I think some of them potentially converted or are, and just things I remember from back in the day. So as far as I know, also, I think people have actually misunderstood in this particular case that, as you've seen, a lot of people that are Muslim or have Muslim connections don't have as big an issue with the whole Saudi issue. Or they might themselves say, well, if we're going to talk about this issue, then what about maybe there's a certain Asian country in the East they might mention? Maybe there's a certain big power in the West that they have issues with. This is not to do the whataboutism, but the point is, they're not going to find this as shocking necessarily. Maybe they already know what goes on in that part of the world. Anyway, the point is to say, I don't think it's as simple as just assuming, like, I like Zonic and Zonic works in Western esports, therefore he must hold all our values and believe and agree in every single cause and activism. No. So anyway, to me, that's neither here nor there. So if we take that out of the equation for a second, because, by the way, aside from Twists, who publicly has said as much, I haven't seen a lot of people turning down Falcons or any Saudi money on the basis that they're Saudi or things Saudis have done. So I don't know why everyone's acting like, just because this guy signed, like, everyone else is like against it totally, and them not signing shows that they're, no, that's all nonsense. So let's go to some of the more reasonable explanations for why Zonic is in this team, because actually the whole Saudi angle, it's just give you the bag, that isn't enough. Like, why would Zonic mention in my reflections interview with him that he was asked to take something like a 60 to 70% pay cut at Vitality after winning the major, by the way, the last ever CSGO major? His job was to come to that project and win the major. He did his job, and then he was basically told, well done, now you have to take a 60% pay cut, right? That's not even mentioning that as if to say, like, I just want money. No. What he's implying there, guys, is, if you just kept paying me the same as I did for my job that I just did a 10 out of 10 performance for in this last 6 months or year, then I would just like to keep getting paid the same money. By the way, you do know most people in that scenario, I know we're in esports winter, so it's a bit different. Most people would come and say, I want a raise now. That would actually be the basic move. Wouldn't it be about factors? You just go to Vitality, go, right, I want a raise. I just won the major. So if you want me to win your majors in CS2, it's going up. 40%, 50%, 20%. Oh, what's that? You want me to take a massive pay cut after I just did all this for you? And by the way, who said Vitality already paid him the most in the whole scene? Does anyone know how much he was paid to be a coach at the time? I imagine it was pretty good since he came up from that Astralis one. But actually, you might have heard some of the stories already. There have been stories of players who've gone to teams like Vitality and G2, and people assume they both had their beggar bag. And actually, sometimes they take a pay cut from a team like Mouse. That's happened before. So actually, I think, quite frankly, they really actually, I think that was disrespectful for Vitality. Even if it was the case, you have to like trim down because of esports. If you knew how much money they've pissed away in fucking League of Legends, by the way, guys, like on players that just sat on benches collecting salaries like fucking self-made. That's egregious that you're going to do that. I understand it's because of German labor laws. And then you turn to Zonic, who's killing it in his job, playing the actual game for you, trying to, as a coach, obviously, trying to win your championships and winning you for them. And then you're going to go, sorry, you have to take a pay cut so I can give the same bag of money I was going to give to you to this fucking guy here who doesn't even play for me because of the way stupid contracts work. Like, I don't blame him at all for already looking for other options. Then you look at the rest of the scene. Look, you as a fan might think, it's Zonic, everyone wants Zonic. No, you as a fan do. There's other teams already have coaches, and sometimes those coaches have been there years and years and years, or directly scouted the specific players they coach now, or have a connection, a relationship with them. And therefore, unless basically someone's in a giant org without a good coach, so okay, G2 could have fit this, let's be real. I actually do think, before they got Taz, obviously, I actually do think that, like, a lot of people probably weren't even that open to Zonic coming. I imagine he probably got, if I had to guess, like, between 3 and 5 offers, couple probably a bit too wacky, couple that might be worth considering some top teams, even then probably not all the other best teams in the world. And then he had this one where it was sort of like, look, we don't have much initially, we've got this whack sort of French mixed lineup, but if you come to this, you're not just the coach. You can actually like oversee this whole project. And that's why I say, and I set it up before, I think this is actually him being sort of like a director of the Falcons project. That's what it looks like to me. He's not just going to coach. He's sort of like helping pick the players and the direction. And then they're going to do things like probably build like facilities and stuff. And then the whole point is he's not like a normal team where when you just coach, just like being just a player, if you have a bad 6 or 9 months, you will be benched slash fired slash replaced. If you are someone like Zorich, where you almost had that happen to you in Vitality, you said in my interview, you actually sort of started to wonder at certain times, like, basically, am I going to get fired from my job? Like, am I going to win the major with this Vitality lineup before they had the lineup that we all now know? So you look at that time period, even in Vitality, there's a world where it could have lasted a year and a half, and we might have just gotten booted, but eventually he won a Pro League, and then he won some other talk, and then he got it all together, didn't he? You don't want to keep going after being as legendary as he is into these projects that essentially keep treating you like it's a one-year deal, and if you fail, you're just out the door because you didn't find immediate success. Maybe he doesn't want to be fired in 6 to 9 months if something that is his fault necessarily goes wrong, even if it's his responsibility. So quite frankly, I think Zorich has more than earned the fucking right to just write his own ticket in Counter-Strike. Like, he has just been so good at what he's done and developing systems and innovating and inventing and pioneering things to do as a coach, as a coaching staff, how to work with people. Like, think about that story I told you where Bart Wyglaive was an amazing fragger while at IGL. Is Zorich uses fucking call half the scrims so Glaive could just focus on his crosshair. Then, because it's half the scrims, still know what he's doing. And then actually, essentially double dip on practice where no other IGL was, or potentially, I mean, they could have done that, but they weren't doing that. Therefore, they couldn't get that benefit. So I actually think this is a guy where he's done what no one else has done repeatedly and to a degree and scale that is so impressive. Why shouldn't he be allowed to come? And if someone's got a big sack of money and he doesn't have moral qualms or it, say, I want to be the person to build a team with that. Think of all the fucking money that's been wasted in esports with dickheads like Evil Geniuses or some of the fucking wank that you've seen just sign lineups where they pay players like God knows how much money. They don't even make top 20. Like, I want someone who's competent to come in with some people who have some money and believe in the vision and then set them up. We can get into it in different videos about the whole, like, if you have, like, qualms about other things going on in the world. This is about Counter-Strike I'm talking about right now. Then there's the whole Nico drama after you hated on Zorich, then you hated on Nico, didn't you? Because for some reason, Reddit slash the Counter-Strike fan base has some sort of crazy, like, multiple personality disorder when it comes to Nico. And I'll even say I include myself in that, because obviously there are times, if I think about certain periods of his career, like he was in phase, I think he had big ego, I think he was a bit of a dickhead. I do think he used soft power to influence what he wanted to happen and reverse engineer situations. But first of all, this is years ago. Remember, he joined G2 guys in like 2020, if you don't remember. And then also, I'll just throw this out there. Like, are we going to ignore that there haven't been those stories in the last few years? By the way, privately, I haven't heard them. And then publicly, there's almost nothing's come out the last year since he's been in G2, suggesting he's doing all this controller stuff, or he's the one getting Alexi fired, and then JKS fired, and then Swanee fired. Like, that just hasn't been the case. So my problem is, once you go outside of that, for me, I'm actually not that a multiple personality in that sense. It's more like I thought something differently when he behaved differently, as far as I know, and now I think a different thing when he behaves differently in a different way. Again, now you can change your mind. But the rest of the scene does this thing where when, like, G2 fails the major and loses that, like, ancient game, they make out like they're the biggest bombs of all time. But then when G2 actually wins, or Nico's a top player, or Nico's thinking between the teams, and he chooses to go back to G2, suddenly he's the hero, and what a stud, and a Chad, and a Giga Chad, and lol, oh, he's fucking mugged him, and he's done whatever he wanted. And by the way, how stupid was the way that the fans characterised that story? Because that story was almost as bad as when we get later to, like, where the Ents players were going. You were told, like, what happened was, people did this thing they do on Reddit and forums, where one person goes, what if this is the case, or I think this, and then another person goes, yeah, that is, and then I'll add this to it, and then I'll add this, and then eventually you built this whole fucking house of cards. But the problem is, there wasn't even a first card, you just made it up, so it's based on nothing. So what happened was, people said, right, well, if Nico didn't join, what he probably did is he just used it as a way to get more money out of G2, then he came back to G2 and said, I want the biggest bag ever, and then G2 gave him the biggest bag ever, and then said, like, you know, Hunter can stay, Andy can kick fucking, or we'll keep Monacy, and also we'll kick JKS and get Nexa for you, or maybe we'll kick the Swanee guy too, we'll just do everything you want, Nico. But here's the problem with that. If that is the case, then where's the announcement, Nico signs extension, Nico signs new, it's never happened, by the way. It's never happened. As far as I know, he went back, and I think his contract ends next year. I think someone implied, and or maybe it's a year after that, I can't remember. You can go look. I think it was in 2021 or 2020. I think it was in 2022 they maybe signed a 2-year contract. I can't remember. You'd have to go and look. But I think it was 2-year contracts, him and, oh, maybe it said multi-year deals, him and Hunter. But it was implied to me that essentially the contract will still end at that set period. So it could be in 6 months, whenever it might be. But yeah, that whole angle, people have already just decided he got the bag, and they've repeated a million times. Spoiler, if you sign a player like Nico to a new contract, an extension, you immediately announce that. You don't sit on that or never announce it. That's absurd. So you can already see people had no clue what they're talking about when it comes to Nico and the story. But let's get down to it. So supposedly the story goes that actually it was Nico who contacted the Falcons. Presumably he'd heard behind the scenes they have all this money in G2. Apparently he didn't control all these situations. So maybe actually it's the case that he isn't always happy with everything in G2. Maybe he understands, like some of the experts, that if G2 has a perfect day, they can win a big tournament. But that perfect day doesn't happen often, hence why, look, winning three big tournaments is amazing, especially look at the scale of the ones that you won, right? Even Blast World's pretty good outside of the prestige event, so three massive events. The problem is, when they weren't in that winning form, were they in loads of finals? Of course they weren't. This is a team that goes to quarters or semis in the normal form, and then just gets beaten, and looks like, they let themselves down there. Or they just win the tournament outright. So my problem is, you could see from the lack of consistency, this isn't the like number one team people want it to be. It's why I'm so critical of Huxley, because he's the obvious part that, in my opinion, if you change, actually, funnily enough and ironically, for a snappy, I actually think you could just immediately become the one and win everything. Have like a whole era and win the Grand Slam and the Major and all the make streaks. You could do everything, I think that's at least possible. So, okay, the logic goes, Nico contacted them, right? Then, I have heard behind the scenes, it is true. Apparently, he had like verbally, basically told people, yeah, basically, I've joined, or I'm going to join, or I'm about to join. Like, yeah, I agreed to everything. Like, it was all get ready to go, as in people like Snappy and Zonic and Megan, it was all going to happen. And then basically, he did change his mind last minute. And supposedly, one of the reasons he changed his mind, this is ironic, is that he realized, wait a minute, if I join this team, I won't be in Blasts. I'll be sat watching Blasts. If we're not actually high enough ranked, will I even be at all the ESL events? Wait, I won't be at the tournament circuit. Like, I want to be, I'm a top pro. I want to play now. I want to win now. By the way, I don't blame him. He should be trying to play in a team that can win everything right now. That's how good he is. And that's where he is in his career. The irony, of course, being that since he didn't sign and they'd find the other players and they got the RMS, they actually have got a Blast spot. So he actually could have had a Blast spot anywhere. So actually, it makes me wonder, by the way, maybe we'll return to this at the end. Imagine this exact same lineup. But at the end, instead of Boros, it's just Nico there. By the way, wouldn't that team have a real chance to just immediately, even from the first tournament, be number one in the world? Nico instead of Boros with this lineup, which we'll get to in a second. Just saying. So actually, by the way, this could have worked out even crazier than any of you anticipate, because you were all just only thinking, it has to be Nico, and then he better get Monacy as well, because you didn't even know some Pius was available or could come with Snappy. And then who were you even thinking of? Most people then were doing ridiculous things, but then he should try getting Zero, and then maybe also get this Blame F. And it, like, I saw some bonkers, like, rosters that were like classic HLTV forum ones where they wouldn't even work as the five players. By the way, ironically, just like the fucking Astralis team that's just been made. Like, I don't know who built that squad, but like, you didn't even look at the roles or tendencies or player balance, did you? Then you got this whole thing where I have heard that when people heard Nico wasn't joining, that did put some people off or change their plan to potentially join or continue down discussions. But it was the fan U-turn. That was the craziest. What wasn't Nico's U-turn? It was the fan U-turn. This whole thing of like jeering at the Falcons org, Zonic, Magisk and Snappy, like they're all idiots for joining without Nico joining, even though I suppose he was going to. Also the notion, I mean, I basically did a short video about this, didn't I? Where it was like, where's the super team? And as I said in that video, when did Falcons promise you a super team, by the way? This reminds me of when everyone hated on the Cassad Henry G colossus of fucking Cloud9 in 2020. But the joke is, this is like you're jeering and hating on them and saying they failed when they hadn't even told you their lineup yet. Remember, all this stuff, aside from the HLD confirmed show, is just leakers and journalists seeing what could happen behind the scenes. But people are treating it like Falcons are saying, we've got Nico. And then after Nico, we're getting Monacy and then a super team. And then we're going to win the major. And then Zonic's going to have like 50 million big bags of money as he just wins money and doesn't give a fuck about anyone and wins every major ever. We are the greatest org ever in here. No one ever did this. this. It's like a ridiculous hyperbolic straw man that you all chose to create in your minds, then defeat and go, see the way I defeated that easily. It's like, it was never based in reality, mate. So this whole thing of thinking you know what you don't know and potentially can't even know, which, by the way, it does apply to like half the fucking scene, including insiders, journalists, and some of these people, and some pro players. So everyone told you, everyone, when that fucking blast was going on, everyone, broadcast, journalists, people in the scene, players were hinting at it, everyone told you, oh, Heroic, now that the other players are going to Astralis, Heroic is going to take this trio from Ents, because they are getting sores, their coach, so they are going to sign Sun Pius, Madden, and Nerds from Ents. Lol, Snappy on Suicide Watch, Snappy in Shambles, Snappy in Falcons without any of his puss, lol, and they're all in Heroic without him, with Saw, they're all in Heroic. Here's what you don't know, nobody fucking likes Heroic, and I'm not just talking about Astralis or Danish people, like, nobody in the fucking esports scene, not the players, but nobody likes the Heroic org. People think they're pieces of shit and have been doing shady ass stuff. I've heard for one of the players they didn't get. Part of the reason why was basically the demand was like, you will pay this enormous amount of money and you will just pay it up front now. There won't be any like layaway or you can sign him and pay part now or pay part later, because people don't trust they'll even have the money. They've got some dodgy ass thing where people think with their sponsor, like 1x bet, like, or I've heard behind the scenes, by the way, the implication for this year is they might just get all the Louvre teams might just like fucking go against them and they'll get them kicked out of like the fucking agreement and they'll maybe be like sanctioned in some way or kicked out of pro league or whatever the fuck. So quite frankly, by the way, players joining that team, look, you're going to get the bag initially, but how long will that last for? And then secondly, if I'm going to sell you a player for mega bucks, yeah, if I don't really believe, because remember last year there was that whole thing of they need to like raise money for Heroic, if I don't believe you'll be here or have the money in a year, well, I'm not fucking doing a deal where you pay me on the back end, am I? So people don't like Heroic. They didn't want some of these players to go there. Yeah, they got Nerds in the end. Yeah, well, fucking congrats. You got the player who, by the way, before 2023 was nobody. Yeah, he looks like he could be a really good talent one day. But actually, if you were picking players, the number one player you needed from Ents is obviously Sun Pius, the AWPer. They're the ones that are light on the ground. Then after that, I mean, look, Nerds is their best player after that. But after that, you'd actually want a Snappy. Madden fills the role as well. So just shows you what it's like. Then the whole Sun Pius thing, right? I'll just put this out there. The rumor was Sun Pius goes, right? Again, I'll just say there was some issues behind the scenes with that one I heard. But the problem goes, if you don't get Sun Pius and you can get Nerds, right? To me, I'd still sign Madden because he's a really good player. But their logic was, if we're going to spend massive, we have to do it because we get the RMR spot, is what I heard. So if they were only going to get Nerds and Madden, well, two players doesn't get you the RMR spot. So as a result, they just got Nerds instead. Now, by the way, speaking of spilling the tea, if you didn't know, actually GamerSops get 10% off with the code THORIN at GamerSops.gg. Have their own line of teas now, including delicious ones like yerba mate and black tea, but they and ginger and turmeric, but they also have one for sleep that has no caffeine in with L-theanine in. You take that at the end of the day, help you go off to the land of Nod, as it were. Now, one little thing I'll spill the tea on right here is, here's a fun one for you. You know that story about how supposedly at Gamers 8, they might have even like muted crowd noise when the Vitality players, who are Israeli Spinks and Flames, were playing, because the implication is maybe people in Saudi Arabia had, this was even before all that stuff recently, but maybe they have hostile opinions towards Israelis, etc. The way they were treated, apparently they had like security. There's a little bit, something that makes me a little bit uncomfortable about that. There's sort of an implication that like either these players, just because of nationality, are unsafe or people dislike them or have hostility to them. I'll just throw this out there. You might wonder, why don't the Falcons just sign Nerds? Why not sign, why don't they do what Heroic was going to do, you were told, and sign Nerds, Madden, Sun Pius over to Falcons? Then you don't even need Boros. You keep Magisk. You got Snappy, and haven't you just made a better version of Ents, and you just basically become number one immediately? Because Nerds is like a top talent, could become a top 10 player potentially, right? All I'll say is this, Nerds is Israeli, and I've heard that potentially might have made him not an option for the Saudis as a result, or I don't know on which end, but that's what I've heard basically, that wasn't even something that was going to happen. So something to throw out there, because as we go forwards and more people from that region buy into teams, I'm going to be very interested to see what happens with players of certain nationalities and certain, let's say, backgrounds and ethnicities. ethnicities. Now, when you come to the lineup itself, this was a big video, so we had to do the meta discussion first. So the lineup, if people don't know, is Snappy's the in-game leader. Magus, presumably, is like some sort of an anchor type player. You've got Sun Pius, the AWPer. Madden's that workhorse, probably going to be the entry pack. And then Boros, presumably, is going to be sort of the star rifle role, because it's just historically what you would imagine he would want to do. If we look at this lineup, fucking hell, this lineup's way better than I heard. In terms of people's thoughts and expectations after they heard Nico wasn't going. Everyone else just abandoned it. I personally said, I think it just delays when they get the really good team. I thought this year, 2024, is maybe when they pick up the players that contracts are run out, they're free agents, and you just give them the signing bonus instead of the like 500k the team fucking wants. And then eventually you get a really good player. Maybe I just figured it probably more like summer 2024. They've got it already. Because let's just start with the most important piece. The most important piece isn't Snappy. It's actually the first piece that it was rumoured they'd signed. Again, they actually didn't officially sign Magus at the time, by the way. It just was rumoured that was what was going on, and people knew he'd left Vitality. So Magus is the number one piece after Zonic that you could sign in this team. So once you've got Zonic, the reason Magus is number one is because he's probably the best at his role now. That sort of like mid-round T-side player who can be an entry, has a sharp AK, but can also like sort of in a not lurk in terms of the traditional lurking position, but just be someone who floats around the map a little bit, chooses who to sync up with and work with, can frag, but he's not going to be a 1v9 type rifler. CT side's a lockdown player and is a big game player. Oh yeah, and also he can just do a bit of secondary calling too and throw some more info in there, right? And at this point in time, he's now played in a team that speaks English the whole time. So this is a player where I've never cared what the stat line for Magus is. Like, Magus can have a 1.09 rating for a tournament, and he might have been like the X factor that got Vitality over the line to win a tournament. This guy's a really good player, and it doesn't always just show in the raw fragging stats. Then let's add this in. He himself could have just chosen to stay in Vitality, presumably, just being chill. But instead, he comes to this new project, instead of staying in what could be the number one team and just stacking more trophies. I would just imagine because he believes in Zonic's vision. Because maybe he's just another winner major himself, and a major with a different org. Maybe he actually wants to do something even more legendary himself and set a new challenge. So in CS2, you won with a totally different org, and only your old coach, and then a bunch of players that in general you haven't played with in your career. And now you're doing it with even more of an international. Now you don't even have Dupree with you. Maybe that's what his vision is. By the way, if so, I applaud him. He's having a fabulous career already, and maybe he's going to keep reaching for the stars. Then you have Snappy. I would say he's the second most important because he is a great in-game leader. We've really seen with him that like people forget that before the Ents with Spinx got good, no one really cared. They were just sort of like, oh, I'm glad he's still in the scene. Oh, cool, Snappy. He was around from 1.7. No one was saying he was a top, top talent. This is a person who was permanently behind Glaive and MSL and Carrigan in his career in terms of who thought he was the greats. Obviously, Cadian came up since then. Joke is Hooks, he won some big tournaments. But actually, you look at the like sort of everyday meat and potatoes of Snappy's calling, and he's been fabulous these last few years. I think he actually has gotten better every 2 years. Ever since the Heroic project started in 2016, I feel like this guy's gotten better every 1 to 2 years. He just leveled up, and I think last year, 2022, was when he actually started having some 2 years ago now was when he actually started having truly world-class performances, and finally had some pieces that were world-class, like Spinks to go with him, like Nerds and Sun Pius later on. So you look, he was a forgotten player once upon a time, but he has more than proved himself with two different end slams. Remember, with Spinx, he was in the Pro League finals in 2022 and then went to the semis of the major. Then with the Sun Pius and Nerds team, he was won a tournament, a whole bunch of finals in a row. Like, this is big boy stuff. And that is not an org that pays the biggest salaries. Now, they can, depending on the player and circumstances, potentially match or pay big salaries, I've been told. But they're not going to do that just for no reason. So they have been a budget team to that point in time. So actually, his results relative to what he's working with resources-wise is incredible. And I've heard he did have a big role in scouting those names that came to those teams. Then I'll just throw this out there. Remember, the most interesting thing is he didn't actually get what a lot of people thought if they assumed Snappy just went for the bag. They thought, right, Snappy's gone for the bag, because you don't get that in Ents, the perception is. He wants Nico to have the best players in the world, and he just wants to win everything because he's sick of being this guy that we give all this credit to, but then say, but he doesn't have the best players, he's making blood. People thought that, well, actually, you look at what's happened in the end, because he didn't get Nico or Monacy or these players, he's actually ended up with Not having, aside from Magus, he doesn't have G2 type players. He doesn't have players that have big egos and names that have won all the tournaments before. He got his Ents boys, which is the wildest thing of all, right? Like, that means, in my opinion, this team should immediately have a basis as a squad. This isn't a made from scratch. Five people come from disparate areas and then start playing together. I have to figure out language, culture, philosophy on the game, roles. What are we doing with you? Are we even replacing this guy? Are we sticking with him? Like, how? Which ones of us are friends? Who's a leader? Who's going to be more quiet? Who's going to be more vocal? Do I even like this coaching stuff? How does it work with the spot? No, you don't have to do any of that stuff because you've got the core of the team still. So I actually think this means that the pre-existing core / synergy / understanding means this team actually has a chance to be good immediately. Now, look, it does suck to lose Nerds, because the player you've got instead, presumably role for role, would be Boros, and he isn't as good as Nerds, although skill-wise he's comparable. But let's be real, you lost Nerds, but you did get Magus. You didn't have Magus when you were in Ents. By the way, you might have won a lot more tournaments if you had a player like a Magus, so that's interesting. I think in some ways it makes the team stronger, even though I think production-wise it might be an issue. And let's be real, the key thing about this squad, even though it never did happen with the Cloud9 with Henry G, is when you spend for a massive project like this, the assumption should be that it doesn't just get one chance and then it's done. The assumption should be, if this doesn't work out, then we do pay for a different player and replace Boros, or we do get a different player for someone else if necessary, because the rest of the squad is there. And I think at most you are one piece from this actually being a team that can win tournaments and be in finals. So I think actually the future also, especially with the notion Zonic will be there the whole time, I think it's fabulous, all in all. Then for Snappy, I think this is kind of his last ride, right? It's his last big chance, probably, to do it all, to win a major, to win many trophies, to be number one team in the world, maybe be the number one IGL in the world, maybe go down as one of the greatest IGLs to ever play any version of Counter. It's all on the table for Snappy now in what might be his last hurrah. Now, speaking of last hurrahs and risking it all, did you know in your first hurrah at EsportsBet, you don't have to risk anything because they have a risk-free first-time bet promotion? Well, what you do is, for your first ever bet, make the bet, and if you lose, then up to 100 USDT, they will refund your stake if you contact the customer support on the website or the mod mail on Discord. So I always say, why not bet on an underdog? Like, maybe at Blast, you pick a team that has spicy 2.5 underdog odds. If you win, you get the 2.5 times whatever. If you lose, you get your original stake back. After Magisk, Snappy, and Zonic goes out saying, we already discussed him. Then you've got Sun Pius. Right, this guy has gotten better every year since you saw him in 2022 on the Movistar Riders team. He's just gotten better and better, more and more experience on LAN, and this is another player where what's funny is, I do think he gets overrated, because if you asked me to draft Orpers today, he probably wouldn't be in my first, he'd actually be borderline to be top five. But I'll tell you what, if you asked me to draft an Orpa to play one big semi-final map now on one of his maps on CT, I'd take him as probably top three or four, because he's proven to be something of an impact player, a big game player. Clearly has some balls, is willing to fucking go out there and make some crazy plays that clearly are not being called for by his team always when he's in these big games. So I think now he actually has just crept over the borderline, started to cement himself as an elite Orpa, which I'll even throw this out there. There were rumours, I've hinted at this on my shows, I've heard basically he could be a little bit spicy or a little bit of a diva or have a bit of an ego. But you know what? From the development I've seen, and quite frankly, with how sort of passive I think some of his teammates might have been at times, I don't blame him. I mean, by the way, sometimes he is him. Like, I think he's done a pretty good job in this team. So as long as he doesn't go too far, I can tolerate some ego. By the way, if there's anyone can harangue someone who has an ego and keep them in under wraps, it's going to be fucking Zonic, isn't it? You've got the best guy ever to do that. You can't have a bigger ego than him, mate. He's done everything. He won every major. Some Pius never won a single major. So I think Zonic will be able to work with this guy and get him a good position. Also, funnily enough, I did often say when some Pius came up, his open reminded me a little bit of Device on CT side, so perfect if you are Zonic, right? Then you got Madden. I always say this, it's just a workhorse. This is the guy who puts his hard hat on, goes to work, doesn't complain, does his job, picks up the slack for other people, really versatile player. By the way, probably in a lower squad could just be the main rifler and a star. One day, in light of the fact he seems so amiable and versatile, I do get the sense, actually, not to like go into an overdrive angle here, but I actually get the sense one day it would make sense for him and Nico and Nexa and Hunter, if they want to make a Balkan team, to just make that the lineup and then figure out the other player, figure out an Orpa. By the way, the joke is, doesn't really matter if the Orpa speaks Serbian, right? Of all the positions, the Orpa could surely just frag people and then do whatever else, and then the rest of them could all play off each other. I think it would just make sense for that to happen at one point in the future now. And then lastly, I'll just say, he's just a strong background piece to pick up if you've got the rest of the pieces. The only one they're missing right now, since they've got some Pius and then the IGL, they're just really missing, like I said, the star rifle, aggressive rifler, which actually I think is the easiest role to recruit in the entire world. That's what there are a surplus of, because that's what essentially FPL culture and stats watching culture produces. It incentivizes that sort of player coming on. Meanwhile, actually, players like Snappy and Madden and Magisk, they're in the roles that aren't incentivized by that system, and therefore those players tend to be worth their weight in gold when you find one. You want to hang on to them, and Snappy's got them again. Then the last player, obviously, is Boros. Right, if you saw him at the Major when he was on Monty, he just has really good mechanics, but that seems to be all right now. Now, having really good mechanics is nothing to sniff at. I'm not talking about it. He just got skill and good aim. No, sometimes his mechanics look really fucking good. But aside from that, he did look a bit brain dead. He did just look like someone who pressed W, the forwards key, and just goes and shoots people. He didn't look like he had a great like understanding of the meta or movement or positioning. Well, I'll tell you what. If you've got Snappy as your in-game leader and Magisk as like a mega veteran and a secondary caller, and then you've got Zonic as your coach and Lars Robles like a sports psych or performance coach, tell you what, let's just have these guys go to work and do what they do. I think they'll turn this guy around. And if not, then you'll know he wasn't cut out to be a top player yet. So it doesn't matter. Because by the way, this is someone else. I'll use the same thing I said about Nerds. Like, Nerds has just crept into the top 20 now for HLTV. If this team works out, couldn't Boros be there? Yeah, he'd have to be shaped a bit by the squad, but the talent's there, right? He could be a top 20 player. And if he doesn't work out, go and get a top 20 rifler, and then the team's ready. Because when you have Zonic, and you have Lars Robel, who worked with him at Astralis and Vitality, you've got all these pieces. By the way, here's a forgotten aspect. Zonic has had three different five-man lineups that were world number one teams that won majors. That's a flex right there. So he has the Astralis 2017 with Kirby that won a major and was world number one. He has the 2018-2019 GOAT lineup of Astralis with Magisk, who was world number one and won, in their case, obviously three majors. Then he has Vitality 2023 with Spinx and Apex and Zimu, and that was number one in the world, and that won the Blast Paris Major. That's what a bonkers statement to even be able to make, that is, by the way. Imagine if he goes and does it with the fourth lineup, makes them number one and win a major, and there are zero overlaps to that first lineup, because only Magisk is the player playing with him from any of the other lineups at this point in time. Imagine if he wins a major, by the way, and does this and be our number one team, and his IGLs are Glaive, amazing, but a gamble when he got him. Apex, now pretty good, but a gamble when he got him. And Snappy, not so much of a gamble, but hasn't won at the top level yet. By the way, if you'd gone back to when Glaive and Zonic were in 2018 and told both of them, by the way, Zonic in the future works with Apex and Snappy and has the world number one team and wins majors, they'd laugh in your face. Because at the time, who the fuck was Apex? It wasn't an IGL. Who was Snappy? It wasn't someone that anyone was looking at in 2018. Like, this could be a guy who could win tournaments and be the best. So actually, quite frankly, I think this just shows you, if you frame it appropriately, this guy has just done fucking work in his career. Also, then look at star players. So, okay, in his current set of major wins, he's always had Device or Zewu, right? By the way, top five players of all time in CSGO, a lot of people are going to say, oh, that would probably be the vote if you put it to a vote with people. If he does it this time in Falcons, well, right now, he didn't get Nico. So he'd be doing it without either the best player in the world or a best player in the world contender. By the way, just like my boy Carrigan did in 2022, when actually Rops wasn't as good, and I don't think anyone was a true number one contender that year. Didn't matter. He showed his skills in IGL and did it anyway and won everything. So actually, if anything, Zonic can prove even more by doing it without a Nico, Zewu, simple device type character. So in terms of expectations, I think this team can basically just walk into their first matches and be top 10 in the world. Like, the quality's there, the core's there, the pre-existing synergies are there. It makes so much sense, so much of the lineup, and should work immediately. They should be able to go to tournaments and just be in the playoffs immediately. I think, by the way, top five, I said they could walk in the top 10. I think top five looks immediately plausible too, especially with how weak some of these teams are. Now, yeah, you have the Boros star rifler issue, so production might be a bit trickier, but the rest of the squad can be there, right? And then lastly, why can't this team qualify to the major when you look at the lineup now? I'd actually say they should be favoured to qualify to the major. Because you look at the rest of the top teams. Okay, you've got Vitality, who has the pieces to be really good and has been so far. FaZe looks awesome and is potentially, you could even argue, maybe even It's debatable. Maybe a slight upgrade. Who knows how Frozen will work out. But after those two teams, who is there? There's G2, who I think have downgraded by getting rid of JKS. So they won't have the same ability to win tournaments, in my opinion. You've got Na'Vi, who just hasn't got it done yet and doesn't have Simple right now. Cloud9, obviously lost Chiro, so that somewhat handicaps them. And then you've got Falcons. Like, realistically, this should immediately be a top five or top six team if you look at the firepower out there. JKS doesn't have a spot in G2, so they're not as powerful. Na'Vi has no Simple, and Wonderful has to become something of a Simple. C9 has no upper. And yeah, Falcons has no top 10 rifle star, but everyone has a flaw, like I just pointed out there. So why couldn't they be in the mix immediately? By the way, whether you have crypto or not, you can get in the mix immediately on Esports Bet because they have their Esports coin, which is a free token to use, and you can get it via the following promotions. You can follow them on Discord. Join the Discord at discord.gg/esportsbet. That will get you 10,000 ESC. You can follow them on Instagram, esportsbet.io, for 5,000 ESC, or you can follow them on Twitter at esportsbet for 5,000 ESC. You can do any or all of those promotions and get whatever amount of ESC by contacting the mod mill on Discord or the customer support on the website and tell them how much and which you did, and they'll credit your account accordingly. I've had to make a lot of tough choices in my career, but thanks to the support of my Patreon community, the Skrilluminati, I never have to make tough financial decisions. So this video and all the rest on my channel are kindly supported by Ahmed Haju, Frisky, Mac Pugnaccio Rakula, Animosity, Jensen Gore, Tobias Bernasconi, Tosh, Toucan, and you know it if you've ever heard before, and you'll hear it many times in the future. A special thanks goes out to my main man, Jerry Keys Minion. Do you want to ask a question in my video AMA? Do you want to be part of one of those long discussions where we talk about whatever you like in esports? Do you want teasers? Find out who the upcoming guests are going to be. Or maybe you want to suggest a topic for a future Thorin's Thoughts type video. Well, if any of these perks or others appeal to you, put your money where your mouth is today and join the Skrilluminati by joining the Patreon link in the description box below.